This episode is sponsored by Plated.com. Prepare chef-quality meals in 30 minutes or less with Plated. Head over to Plated.com/MILF and get free shipping with your first order. That's Plated.com/MYLF. Hello and welcome to MILF Talk, Make Your Life Fabulous. I'm Sophie Venable, psychologist, life coach, mother of two, and author of MILF 101. Whether you're married with children, single, divorced, or all of the above, I'm talking to you about life, relationships, sex, and some tough parenting issues. Today, we're talking about the transgender conversation. It seems almost impossible that any child remotely connected to the interweb or a television would not see something about Caitlyn Jenner these days. And some parents don't exactly know how to talk to their kids about this, or even really understand it for themselves. So my guest calling in from Washington, D.C. is the perfect person to help us in this area. I'm so honored she's joining the show today. Please welcome the director of the Children, Youth, and Families Program for the Human Rights Campaign Foundation, Ellen Kahn. Yay! Applause.
Thank you so much for that applause.
So nice to meet you, Ellen. Can you tell us a little bit about how you got involved with the HRC and what they do?
Sure. I will start by saying that I am a parent. I am the mom of two daughters who are 15 and 12. And I'm especially excited to be talking with you today and talking to other parents or prospective parents. I'm a social worker professionally, and the earliest days of my career were spent on the front lines of HIV/AIDS in the very early days of the crisis, when we only really knew of gay men getting HIV/AIDS, and because I was already out as a lesbian and sort of in a community of people in Philadelphia at the time who were also gay and lesbian, I started to have friends who got sick, and that kind of propelled me into social action, advocacy, ultimately led me to social work. And then after about 15 years doing HIV/AIDS work, I started doing work on really addressing LGBT youth and youth and families more broadly. And that's what led me to the Human Rights Campaign, when they decided to launch a new program, this is 10 years ago, focused on ways to improve the everyday of LGBT youth and LGBT parents and their families. So
wow.
That's a very brief explanation of how I got to where I am.
I think that's exciting that program exists. So that's wonderful to know. And when we're done, I'm going to have you let people know how they can find out more about that program.
Sure, absolutely.
So, you know, I want to say, can you give us in simplest terms how to talk to our children about transgender? But maybe we need to start with the simplest terms for the parents to understand the transgender issue.
Sure. I do a lot of training of professionals, teachers, social workers, healthcare providers, adults in various professions, and many of them are parents. I also do a lot of education with parents. So I tend to break things down this way for this conversation, just to explain what is gender identity, mm-hmm. and just make that distinct from what is sexual orientation, because they are two different parts of what makes us up as humans.
Yes.
And then I can better explain the transgender experience. So I think to put sexual orientation very simply is, you know, who you're attracted to, you know, sort of who stirs your, you know, kind of gives you those stirring feelings. You know, sometimes you're only attracted to people of the opposite sex. Sometimes you're only attracted to people of the same sex. And sometimes you find yourself attracted to both people of the same and opposite sex, and sometimes that changes over a lifetime. But sexual orientation is, you know, simply, you know, kept in terms of, you know, your kind of romantic, kind of sexual types of attraction. Doesn't always mean you act on them, but it's how you feel.
Right.
So that's one part of what makes us up as human beings. Gender identity is your innermost sense, really between your ears, in your mind, in your brain, whether you feel male or female, or maybe a little bit in between in some way. And most people, the vast majority of people, have a gender identity that matches the package of genitals they're born with. In other words, most people, if you're born and the doctor says you're a girl, you probably will grow up and feel like a girl and identify as a girl. You might be, you know, a super uber feminine girl. You might be a little tomboyish, but mm-hmm. you will feel and identify as a girl. Most boys who were born boys and the doctor says, oh, it's a boy, most of them will grow up to be, you know, men who identify as male and, you know, it's never a question for them.
Right.
But there are a certain percentage of people who are assigned sex, you know, it's a boy, it's a girl when they're born. But as they grow up, they do not feel that what's in between their legs matches what's in between their ears.
Huh. And that's a very good way to put it.
Yeah. Because, you know, when we talk to kids, we really think about, like, what's the age and developmental stage of your child? Because how you... These are simple terms that, you know, I think 8, 10, 12-year-olds can really grasp. There's some different ways I might talk to younger kids. But for some people, as they grow up, especially as they reach puberty or just before they reach puberty, there's a very heightened sense that there is a real discord between how they identify, their psychological sense of who they are, which is the gender identity, and the body that's carrying them. And it causes tremendous, tremendous distress. When someone is in fact transgender, meaning they are, you know, to use an older term, like living in the, you know, in the
living
wrong body.
Living in the wrong body, uh-huh.
You literally just not feeling like you're in the right skin. There's a lot of distress. And if any of you watched the interview with Caitlyn Jenner, mm-hmm. she reflected back to that distress and that she carried for years and years and years. And that part of it was generational. Part of it was, I think, being a celebrity. Part of it was just that no one really knew that there was any other way than to just carry that pain and that distress. Now we have examples, which we'll talk about today, of children who are 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years old expressing, articulating in some way that sense of discord between the body they're born in and how they feel between their ears. And, you know, we have more and more understanding of how to be supportive, how to, you know, really understand when we might in fact have a child who is transgender, and then how we might support them in that process. And it's very complicated. So I probably answered several questions with that first one. So I'm going to stop and let you pick back up where you want to be.
Yeah, that's okay. Because I think that's a huge part of the conversation. It was actually one of my favorite moments in the interview when Diane Sawyer said to him at the time, he said it was okay to refer to him as him in that conversation until he was ready to reveal. She said, "So are you a lesbian?"
Yeah.
And I loved his response because he went, I don't know. Just like, I don't know. Like, I can't do it. Let me get to where I'm, you know, where I'm going here, and I'll worry about that. And I think that is such a huge part of it for people, is untangling those two pieces. Now, my 15-year-old can explain it to you in very plain and simple terms, because she just doesn't have the same hang-ups that so many people have. So let me ask you this, and please forgive me if I say anything offensive, because I don't. But I think I'm trying to think in terms of the questions that people have when they're out in the world. Okay. So let's say you meet a woman who is a lesbian and she dresses very manly. Okay. Like, she's got, you know, her tattoos and her short hair, and she's totally comfortable in her skin. Like, that's just like who she is. Right.
Right.
But if you ask her, well, do you want to be a man? She may say yes, but she may likely say no. I just like being a woman, but being this
right.
this is how I want to dress, and this is how I carry myself. I have more masculine energy, or whatever it is. Like, I think that's where people go, well, if I'm a tomboy, do I want to be a boy? Or if my son is dressing in dresses, does that mean he's a cross dresser, or does that mean he's just, you know, wants to be a girl? Like,
yeah.
I think that the hard thing is that we can't put it into two boxes.
Sure.
You know, there's like 20, yeah, I mean, 30, I think 40 boxes.
One of the things we're learning, I tell you honestly, I'm learning so much from younger people, and the generation of, like my older daughter, your 15-year-old, and young people in their, you know, teens and 20s, really think differently about gender. They're not policing each other quite as much around boys having to be this way and girls having to be this way. You know, honestly, there's always been more tolerance of girls who are tomboyish. Like, she'll grow out of it, it's no big deal. Mm-hmm. Then we've had tolerance for boys who are more feminine, who might want to wear, you know, pink Converse sneakers or take ballet or play with the dolls. There's such fear about, like, what does that mean about my child or this boy that, you know, doesn't mean he's going to be gay or am I not doing something right as a parent? And I think we tend to over-police our kids by, you know, buying them toys consistent with their assigned sex, mm-hmm. you know, kind of, you know, shutting down some of their behaviors and expressions if we don't think they're consistent with their gender. And I think parents do this without even realizing they're doing it. Mm-hmm. If you look at how classrooms, elementary school classrooms, they have, you know, sort of the boys' dress-up area and the girls, and they say boys line up here and girls line up here. Yeah. And, you know, things are Target and stores like that. Everything's so gender kind of rigid. You know, it's rigid. Yeah. And I think the younger generation of kids now are really pushing back around that. And there's a sense that there are lots of different ways you can be a boy. And this is a good thing to say to your kids. There are lots of different ways to be a boy and lots of different ways to be a girl. Some mm-hmm. girls like nail polish mm-hmm. and dress up. And some girls like, you know, to go out and play in the mud. And some girls like both. And you just be a girl however you want to be a girl. And that's probably the most affirming message we can give to our kids. I think a lot of parents get a little stuck, maybe more around giving boys that room. I think sometimes we're worried that our sons will get picked on or teased, left out if they're not, you know, a certain kind of boy. The truth is that, you know, we're probably going to hurt them more if we don't give them room to be who they are. But I think, you know, like I'm lesbian identified. I'm, I guess, boyish, you might say. I've never felt like I was, you know, not, I mean, I've always felt comfortable in my body. I like being a woman who is more, you know, traditionally masculine in her presentation. It suits me. And I'm happy to say that, you know, there's quite a dating pool out there for me. There are a lot of women who who are attracted to women like me. Like they like women with, you know, sort of a little, you know, like the Ellen DeGeneres. You know, I am convinced that, you know, 90% of the women who go to her shows who are heterosexual or have always been heterosexual would probably be happy to make out with Ellen DeGeneres.
Yeah, they kind of dig her.
They had a second.
Yeah.
You know,
it's
an example, you know, it's an example of how you can really think outside of boxes. And I should mention gender expression, which is another component of who we are, is literally like how we present ourselves. So if I'm female and identify as female, and I tend to wear, you know, more tailored clothes, and I have short, sort of spiky hair, and, you know, I'm a jock, and I don't wear makeup. And then there are women whose gender expression is more traditionally feminine, like, you know, styled hair and makeup and jewelry and dresses. And there's a whole range of ways we can express our gender within, you know, the sex that we are. So
I love that.
I mean, it's just, I think, you know, there are a lot of young people who are identifying as gender ambiguous or gender queer or gender fluid. Our kids, I guarantee you, they're going to have a whole different vocabulary than
we
have right now.
Yeah. I love to cook, but finding time is so difficult, especially with the shopping. That's why I'm so excited about Plated. Plated is for people who love cooking fresh, exciting new dishes, but don't have time to find all the perfect ingredients. Here's how it works. Go to plated.com/MYLF and choose from amazing chef-designed recipes and new selections every week. Next, the culinary pros at Plated lovingly fill a refrigerated box with just the perfect pre-portioned ingredients for your dinner. Nothing is wasted. It's so cool. My daughters fell in love with the process because the instructions are so clear. My 15-year-old prepared an entire meal herself. And then the next night, my 11-year-old made the steak Caesar lettuce cups, and they were delicious. And it was so much fun. They're like, Mom, we want to do this every week. It's just the best because we're getting to actually enjoy cooking together, and we know that it's going to be successful. That's the cool thing, is you're completely set up for success in this process. You're not going to like cook something and have it turn out wrong. So you cannot make a mistake. It is so easy. It's so cool. So if you're not home for your delivery, don't worry. Your plated box keeps everything fresh until midnight on the day that it arrives, even on warm days. You can prepare chef quality meals in 30 minutes or less with Plated. Hurry over to plated.com/milf now and get free shipping with your first order. Once again, that's plated.com/MYLF. Well, when I was 8 years old, I actually met my first transgender male. He was a friend of my mom's, and he would come over, and my mom was a nurse, and so she would help him with his shots, you know? Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was kind of like wondering what this person was doing here and what my mom was helping him with. And she said, well, he was actually born a girl and never felt comfortable in his body, felt like he was supposed to be a male. So now he's taking hormones and becoming a male. He's a male and lives his life that way. And I was like, oh, okay. I mean, it was really as simple as that. And I didn't, there was nothing about that that I didn't understand. Now, of course, being the, you know, therapist at 8 years old, I'm thinking, but wait a minute, that means he has a vagina. And how is he going to find love? Yeah. I mean, you know, that was my simplest, that was like my simplest form of concern was, but oh my goodness, how is he going to fall in love with a woman who, you know, I was deeply concerned.
Oh, you know, the genitals are, people get so focused
on
genitals.
They get so hung up on it, right?
It's like, you know, wondering if a man who might have a, you know, a smaller than average penis would ever be able to please a woman, or, you know, it's
right.
Like, oh, we really overthink genitals quite a bit. I will say that, well, A, it's great that you were exposed to someone transgender and it made sense, but you make such a great point, which is that it's, kids get things pretty easily, especially if you can explain them pretty simply and concretely.
Mm-hmm.
It's really the adults. It's adults. It's you know, those of us who are, you know, we get tongue-tied and we don't know what to say and then we're not sure. Like, sometimes we don't understand things, and I find it to be very refreshing if my kid or other kids ask me questions that I can't answer, to just say, you know, that's a really good question, and I'm not sure. Let's find out together. I mean, it's the same way you might ask answer a question that's, you know, about science or why the sky is blue. I mean, I have to Google half the things my kids ask me.
So, thank you. Know, I feel much better about myself.
You know, it's like, rather than giving an answer that shuts them down or that maybe sends a negative message, just to say, huh, that's a really good question, or I'm curious, or that's interesting. Why, you know, what made you think of that? Because this stuff is hard. Transgender issues or gender identity in general is kind of hard. The one, in terms of, you know, just to speak a little bit more to what you mentioned about this transgender man, there, one of the things that's really amazing about our ability now to support younger kids who are expressing what we think is like this gender dysphoria. This is like the clinical term for people who really have that level of distress I was talking about, and really are, like, I have a friend right now who has a son, assigned male at birth. He's 5 or 6 years old, and he's been insisting for the last year that he's a girl. Now, this is a fairly classic way to categorize kids who have gender dysphoria and might, in fact, need to transition at some point. It's what we say is persistent, insistent, and consistent expressions that they are a different gender than they were assigned.
Persistent,
you know, not,
insistent,
not a boy who,
consistent.
You know, enjoys playing with dolls, you know, or the girl who's climbing trees. But if it's the boy who says, I'm a girl, when is my penis going to go away? I'm a girl, and is insistent, consistent, persistent. Or the girl who says, you know, if I, you know, I'm... the girl assigned, you know, who says, I'm a boy, I know I'm a boy, I feel like a boy, who pulls dresses off, who can't stand to be in girls' clothes, and who at the first sight of breast buds starts to hide in her room. Like, you're talking about, I mean, that's what we're talking about.
Major distress. Yeah.
A clinical assessment that this is gender dysphoria. Again, relatively small percentage of kids, but if you have a child like this or know a child in your neighborhood or in your family who has this kind of presentation, there are lots of resources online and lots of ways to get support and advice and to try to keep these kids feeling healthy and safe until enough time passes to really assess what their needs are.
Okay, so I'm going to ask you a touchy question here. I would imagine that you have families come to you to people that you help reach out that are dealing with a religious conflict.
Mm-hmm.
And trying to frame this in some sort of compassionate way within the scope of their religion, right? Because again, and my guess is that some of that has to do with tying it to sexual preference as opposed to really understanding the difference between that and gender identity. Can you give people some kind of vocabulary around this that might help them speak of it in a non-aggressive manner or non-doomed manner?
Yeah, I mean, that's a really tough one. I think that when something is new or scary, I mean, mm-hmm. That's one thing that is challenging for parents, whether their belief system is rooted in a religion or just in what they have learned from their world. If a child in their family is expressing, is maybe not gender conforming or is exhibiting behaviors that are worrying them because they think boys should be a certain way or girls should be a certain way, and some people just may feel that there is no such thing as being transgender, that it's made up.
That
can be framed in religious terms. I think mm-hmm. that, for me, the important thing is to talk about compassion, that, we might not understand exactly what our child is feeling or experiencing, and we may not even approve, but to be compassionate is to ensure that our child will know they're loved, know they're safe, and not hurt themselves. I mean, and I don't want to be an alarmist here, but and I'm sure your listeners know and have seen on social media, there are so many young people taking their own lives, mm-hmm. not just LGBT young people, but a whole range of young people who feel very marginalized and isolated and rejected for many different reasons. There is a higher percentage, it seems, though, of young people who are, because they are transgender or in some cases gay or lesbian or bisexual, and felt rejected by their families, they're in so much distress and pain around that they take their own lives. They've mm-hmm. been, the message they are getting is that their lives do not matter. So no matter how freaked out you are as a parent, no matter how scared shitless, can I say that?
Oh,
you
yes,
are,
absolutely.
That your kid might be lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender. Literally everything you say to your child, every word you choose could be a life or death difference. So to say, I don't understand this, but I love you, mm-hmm. or, God doesn't make mistakes and we're going to get through this together, or, maintaining compassion, mm-hmm. Even when your gut is wrenched. And I think that, again, keeping in mind that our kids are incredibly vulnerable, if they get negative messages from their parents, from a minister, a rabbi, a cleric, anybody who they see as an authority figure that says they are not okay, mm-hmm. that is incredibly harmful.
Yeah. And I think that's a beautiful takeaway from all of this, is that no matter what your child is going through, you don't have to understand it to be compassionate. You can just love them and let them know that their heart is important to you, that they matter. Like you said, with any issue, whether it's LGBT or anything.
Sure. I mean, maybe you don't like the friend your kid's hanging out with, or they flunk an exam and you thought they should have passed. I mean, we have a huge responsibility as parents, right?
Yeah.
I mean, my kids irritate me a lot. They leave their dishes and, in the sink, and they have crumbs in their bed. I mean, and
mine are the same age, by the way.
Sometimes I raise my voice and I say, this is enough already.
Right.
But I just try to see their souls and try to think about their tender hearts and how do I, teach them? How do I move them along? And I do think that things around sexual orientation or gender identity are huge triggers. Most parents, when their kids are born, they think, they have a girl, they think, oh, she's going to grow up, she's going to get married and have kids, and know, we have these images, these dreams for our kids, and anytime something happens or, you know, we see something in them that might derail that dream, you know, it's really hard for us. And so yeah. I do think the words, you know, your suggestion of, right, just really maintaining compassion. You do not have to understand things. There's so much help online. There's so many great resources. And I'll tell you the other thing. There are so many parents. This one story is my favorite. There's a group of Mormon mothers. These are mothers who are raised in traditional LDS families in places like Utah and Arizona and California, strict Mormon families who have kids who came out as LGBT. Mm-hmm. And instead of rejecting their kids, they are embracing their kids, and they are challenging the church. Mm. Say, we are not choosing between our child or our church. We both are important, and we are standing by our kids. They're called Mama Dragons, and they've got, you know, presence on Facebook. And these are, I mean, this is the wave of the future. Our parents, evangelical parents, Mormon parents, Catholics, Latinos, African American, white, rich, poor, all kinds of parents who have learned and evolved and moved along to the point of understanding that accepting their child is what they have to do as a parent. You know, unconditional love, you don't pick and choose what you like about your kid. And I think they are changing the world. They are definitely going to be changing the world for our kids.
That is fantastic news. I mean, that is one of the great things about being alive in this age, is watching that kind of growth with humans, just accepting all varieties. I think they're coming in all varieties just to challenge everybody. All these souls.
Yes.
So tell us how the HRC can help people out there, or what that resource is for them, and
sure.
Find you.
Well, there's a lot of stuff on our website. We address multiple topics and advocacy issues, from marriage equality to supporting LGBT youth to improving the workplace. So there's a lot of stuff on our website, which is hrc.org. But if you want to look at the resources around supporting transgender children, for example, it's hrc.org/trans-youth. And then we also have a great website called welcomingschools.org, which is all kinds of resources for parents and teachers in a K-5 environment, which teaches about inclusion of all kinds of students, all kinds of families. It teaches about how to create schools and communities where children can express their gender in ways that aren't really policed or rigid, sort of what we were talking about earlier, ways to talk to our children about things like, why does a child wear this kind of clothing, or what, you know, like answering tough questions kids have. So those are a few websites and web pages I recommend. And, you know, you can look around our website and you'll find many things and links to other things. And but definitely the stuff around transgender youth, I think, given the conversation today, and the Welcoming School site would be very helpful.
Fantastic. Well, thank you for those resources. You can find me on Facebook at Sophie Venable and tweet me at Sophie_Venable. If you're on iTunes or SoundCloud right now, please click subscribe. That would help me keep this show on the air and free. My book, MILF 101, Make Your Life Fabulous, is available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. Thank you so much for joining me today, Ellen. And thank you, Maria Spertolozzi and the crew here at Sideshow. And thank you all for listening. This is Sophie Venable reminding you that you don't have to make your life perfect. Just make it fabulous.